Young entertainment professionals.
A lot of people here feel like they're spinning their wheels sometimes, you know, before they get that publishing deal or before they get a record deal or before they get a job in the music business. And they just feel like I'm spinning my wheels. But sometimes you just have to turn the direction. You know, I never thought I was going to be starting my own songwriter round. I moved here to work in the business, not make a songwriter round. But now I couldn't imagine getting where I'm at without that round.
You're listening to the Young Entertainment Professionals Podcast, a series featuring the people cultivating the entertainment industry and how they discovered their career path with the help of Yep Nashville. I'm your host, Libby Olerich, and today's guest is the Director of Creative A&R at Riverhouse Artists, Zeb Lester. He is the founder of Why Not Wednesday's Songwriter Spotlight, sponsored by Future Shirts and Regions Bank. He is also the co-owner of Why Not Lifestyle Brand, an apparel company with a purpose to inspire people to overcome life's obstacles. In this episode, you'll hear more about the mission and his personal tie to both Why Not Ventures and how he became the artist manager for Jordan Rowe and Chrissy Metz. Now to our conversation with Zeb Lester.
So welcome, Zeb Lester, to the Young Entertainment Professionals Podcast.
Thank you.
So glad you're here. You sound thrilled.
I am. I'm excited. I would say this is my first podcast, so I don't really know what to expect. But at the same time, I think I want to start my own down the road. So this is a good test the waters and see how it goes.
It's going to go great. We're going to be fine. Yeah. We're going to make it just like we are in the industry. We were talking a little bit just about your background before we started recording, and you were mentioning that the formation of your Songwriters Round was essentially your intro into the industry, and it continues to be something that's a huge part of your life. So can you talk more about
it? It is. So I moved to town a little over 4 years ago, and I didn't have a degree. I didn't have any music degree. Let me take that back. And no plan for what I really wanted to do. And so for me, it was just like, let's dive in and go to as many shows as possible during the week and try to network as much as possible. And what I realized right off the bat was that there were so many people in this town that are extremely talented, but really don't have a lot of places to display their music. Mm-hmm. And so, or have a platform for them to play their music. And so for me, I had many sleepless nights where I was like, okay, I have to prove myself. I have to figure out how I can get involved and network and, you know, how can I create something? And so over time, I really came up with the idea. Somebody actually invited me to take over their round. It's no longer here, but Randy McFadden ran Threesome Thursdays, which happened on 8th Street every Thursday. And she asked me if I wanted to take it over one time. And so I invited some of my friends to play, and it was a really big night. And there were all songwriters that had helped me and talked me into moving to town. And so in that moment, I was like, wow, I could do this. And I decided to put together a round with no music business experience, just with the friends that I knew and the network that I knew, to create a spot for them to get up and play. But more importantly, bring their team, their publisher or their manager or their other songwriters that I'd never met before to one place where we could all network together and hopefully one day get me a music job.
What do you love most about the songwriter?
I think the uncertainty and their ability to translate feelings they can't talk about through music. Sometimes I'm really close to our writers, and I love all the writers we have at Riverhouse. And one thing that I can pick up on right away is what they're going through and their life in that moment, because a lot of the songs they turn in are real. And, you know, it's on both sides. They have to trust us, you know, as creative people to be able to turn those emotions into us. But at the same time, those raw emotions make the best songs. And so for me, my favorite part about it is being able to hear the type of music that they turn in because of the emotions that they put into it. And a lot of times those emotions are something they can't speak about.
And how do you, what is usually like your strategy, so to speak, of pitching these songs to the right artists that maybe can communicate those feelings?
One thing I do a lot in my office, and I don't know if other people do this, but if I'm going down a sheet and I see that Blake Shelton is looking for songs in 2 months, or cutting songs in 2 months, I go back on Spotify or Apple Music and I'll play Blake Shelton songs. And I'll like take myself back to the moment when I heard those songs, but also put myself in a mindset of like, okay, this is what Blake Shelton's like. And then I go through our songs and listen to those and try to see which ones I can connect the best, mm-hmm. but also listen to the lyrics and find those songs that I feel like is a story that that artist is going to want to tell in that point in his life or to the fan base that he has.
Do you remember a writer's round that you went to like before you started your own writer round? And maybe hearing a song that like really resonated with you and you know, what made you fall in love with music, I guess.
Oh, that's a hard one.
Is it?
You know, this one for me is just, I don't know if it was the most, it wasn't the song that like touched me the most, but it was the song that I watched grow the quickest and the fastest and make a career for more than one person. And that was When It Rains, It Pours for Luke Combs. So Ray Fulcher was one of the reasons why I moved to town. He talked me into moving here. And I remember the day that they wrote that song, he had told us all about it. And he was playing it around in town and he was playing that song before it was anything. And now flash forward 3 years from now, and it's like multi-platinum number one hit for Luke Combs. And it's just crazy to watch, you know, it's the reason why Ray is still able to write songs because he's writing songs like that.
Are you from Ray's hometown?
I'm not. No, I'm not. I grew up in Florida, in Fort Myers, okay. Florida. And then I went to college in Georgia.
Okay.
So I went to college at ABAC, which is an ag school in South Georgia.
And I'm from, do you know where Hepzibah is?
I don't
It's Augusta, like near okay. Augusta. So that's where I'm so that's, from. So you I know. Ray.
Okay. So you know where Ray's from. Yeah. Well, I went to ABAC. I was getting a degree in diversified agriculture. So what that means is you get a degree about everything to do with ag, and then you get to pick your senior year which direction you want to go. So I learned about plants. I learned about meat science. I learned about everything that has nothing to do with the music world. But there was one venue in Tifton called The Gin, and all of the artists that were up and coming in Georgia or in Nashville were routing through there. And so at that time, Ray Fulcher, Travis Denning, Cole Taylor, Swindell would still play their song. All of those Georgia artists who were trying to make it or moving to Nashville and making it already were playing there. And so I was able to go watch them all play and kind of see it grow from the ground up. And I just slowly became friends with some of them and they would send me songs. And he probably don't even remember this, but Ray one day had sent me a song when I was still living in Georgia. And he was like, what do you think about this? And I listened to the song and I wrote back and I was like, it's good, but I get bored halfway through. And he was like, you know, this isn't normal feedback, right? And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, normal people who are friends and family just say, yeah, that's good. And then never listen to it again. He was like, you actually have an ear for music. You should like think about moving here. And that was the only thing I needed to be like, maybe there's a chance, you know, that I can move to Nashville. And I was working, I had a corporate job. I worked for Marlboro in Copenhagen out of college and I worked in the sales world with them and did a lot of analytics and a lot of sales stuff and worked on a marketing team that helped come up with ways to compete with competitive product. And so I was living the life of the company vehicle and I would just drive to Nashville on the weekends and visit them and see what was going on and slowly teach myself everything there was to know about the music business. And then it was probably a year after that that I just up and quit and gave a notice and my parents thought I was insane. And here we are 4 years later.
Here you are. That's awesome. I always appreciate people that just like take their time to like get to where they're going and they're not trying to rush the system or, you know, they want to pursue a job that like truly does fit with what they're passionate about and how they can really contribute.
And for me, I mean, I'm the type of person that when I make my mind up about something, it's like, I'm going to give it all I got until I hit a dead end, or I'm going to bust through the wall and make it happen. And so I just made up my mind that Nashville was the place I was going to be and no one could stop me. And now looking back, it's, you know, it's like, I was an idiot. Like I had no, I worked for Comcast Business. I mean, I moved here and was knocking doors in Hendersonville. Like, hey, do you want to buy Comcast? So for me, there wasn't a plan, but I think that was the beauty of it is because I was like, I'm just going to grind until I can open another door and I'm going to keep working and keep working. And I feel like a lot of people here feel like they're spinning their wheels sometimes, you know, before they get that publishing deal or before they get a record deal or before they get a job in the music business. And they just feel like I'm spinning my wheels. But sometimes you just have to turn the direction. You know, I never thought I was going to be starting my own songwriter round. I moved here to work in the business, not make a songwriter round. But now I couldn't imagine getting where I'm at without that round.
Before we get to the apparel business and how that ties in, can you talk a little bit about how the round has evolved over the past couple of years? Maybe some ways that it's changed or what you learned in creating it and building it.
I actually had an interview in the music business. This is a kind of a long story. So I had an interview here in the music business. It was my first interview and it didn't go so well. I asked how long before I could get promoted in the interview. And I think that was the last time he ever wanted to talk to me again. But I was going from making corporate money to music money. And I realized really quick that it wasn't the same. But I had walked down the street waiting on some friends to get out of a right. And I walked into the bar that's catty cornered from Red Door. And it's now closed, but it's called Whiskey Rhythm. And that is where I clicked there and I was like, hey, I could do my round here. They need something to keep the doors open. So I talked to the owners. I created my round there. So it actually started in that bar that's no longer open. And it was a great starting point. You know, it was a smaller venue. They needed me just as much as I needed them. And we did the round there once a month. And I really just begged my friends to play in the beginning. And then I had to figure out a way to, in the beginning, if someone came up to me and was like, hey, I want to play around. And I was like, sure, shoot me a text. And then as it evolved, that didn't work anymore because I would have 50 people texting me about playing the round because they shared my number with their songwriter friends. So I had to create a website and put up a portal so people could submit online and play it that way. And then I had to come up with a system to filter it because, you know, a big thing for me is quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I feel like people show up to my round is because I don't let anyone play. I really let people who have worked their butt off in this town or I really believe in as an artist-songwriter to play. And that's what makes it so great. But at the same time, it's a very hard thing to navigate in town because there's a lot of people who I think are really talented. They're just not ready to do something that I've built a brand around yet. So there's been a lot of evolving with that. The location is now at Live Oak on Tumumbrian Hill. So it's not, you know, it's not the same spot. We have a website. We have all the social media. I have a videographer who helps me. What? And her name is Emma Golden. Shout out to Emma because she is the best. And we have an intern now and there's a whole, I have a team. So it's evolved a lot, but also it's been a lot easier to book it now because I have a network in the music world of songwriters and publishers and managers. And I can kind of shoot for the moon when I start reaching out for these people. So my goal is to have a number one songwriter on every round. And most of the time I can pull it off.
It's a great goal to have. Where can people follow the round, keep up with everything?
So it's all over social media at Why Not Wednesdays. So that's Y-N-O-T, mm-hmm. all one word, Wednesdays. We have Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and I think we got rid of the Snapchat. So, yeah, we got everything but Snapchat.
I still have friends that use Snapchat, but I don't use it anymore. I feel like it was like one extra thing that I had to keep up with, and I just was like, got disinterested.
You just have to turn the notifications off.
Yeah.
Because what happens with me is I'm in like more than one group message with my friends, and if I don't turn it off, like my phone is on airplane mode right now, because if not,
you'll just get tons of snaps. Yeah.
We'd like to take a moment in our show to thank our friends at Morris Light & Sound for supporting Yep Rewind, a quarterly show held at the Basement East featuring a new lineup of the industry's best talent with throwback and pop culture themes like Yepstock, punk rock, one-hit wonders, 90s country, and more. Morris Light & Sound has continued to provide top-notch live production for our Yep Rewind shows, and we love having them a part of this classic young entertainment professionals event. Over the past 25 years, Morris Light & Sound has grown into one of the premier audio and lighting providers in Nashville, partnering with clients such as Florida Georgia Line, the Country Music Association, and the Nashville Predators. Amplify and illuminate your vision with Morris Light & Sound, and be sure to visit experiencemorris.com to learn more.
So the apparel company that you started.
Yeah. So my brother and his best friend, Cody Moran, they were in a car accident when they were 18 that paralyzed Cody from the neck down. And he went through rehab in a facility in Atlanta called Shepherd Center. And he was able to gain feeling of his upper body and learn how to drive again and do everything for himself in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And then two and a half years after that, he was diagnosed with leukemia and told he wasn't going to make it. And 6 months later, he overcame that also. So Cody has been very motivating to everybody in my family and pretty much became like another brother for me and my brother. And we created, it was Cody's idea. I had moved to Nashville and I'd been here like 2 months, and he wanted to create a brand and do something to share his story. And so it was his idea to call it Why Not. And the slogan is Why Not Live, because tomorrow's never promised. And we created a website online. One of my really good friends, EJ Smith, is a graphic design marketing guy who I went to school with, and he helped create the logo, and he still actually does all of the designs for the company. And we created it. I went actually on the road all summer with EJ and my brother, and we went out west to rodeos and promoted it. It's like a country and western brand because that's the lifestyle we grew up. And yeah, it's got like 72 products now. They're doing it all out of a warehouse in Florida, and Cody's running the company. And it was actually a saving grace for me, because when I moved to town and had no job and wanted to get away from Comcast, we were able to launch the brand.
Everyone's always trying to get away from Comcast.
I don't know. They've gotten better. I use their shout out to Comcast. They've gotten better. Their customer service is a little better, but I was able to build that brand with Cody and my brother and EJ while I was still hunting a music job. And so when I decided to do the round, I was like, I have to name it after the brand, because I mean, all of these people in Nashville are living the same struggle, you know, like they're here because they have a dream and they're chasing it, and tomorrow might not be promised, but for them, you know, this is what they want to do. And so why don't we name it after that? And
yeah,
the Wednesday seemed like a great day.
Why not Wednesdays? The round, does it benefit any sort of part of the Why Not?
It doesn't. Cause? It's actually, okay. I'm working on some merch now to do for Why Not Wednesdays.
Okay.
So they're not, it's not related at all, except for Why Not sponsors it and always has.
So when did Yep come into the picture?
So for me, Yep was the first thing I ever got involved with. I'd moved to town and I was trying to make friends, and thank God for Amelia Varney. I think she was like the first person that talked to me. I was like, hey, you should come check out Yep. And I was like, what is that? And so I added it on the Facebook. Is the Facebook still around? The Facebook group?
Yeah.
So there's a Facebook group where people were like selling everything on there every day. Guitars, photo shoots, you know, whatever it is. And I ended up coming to a mixer. I think the first one I ever went to was at the Sounds Game. And I got to meet Andrew Cohen and Jared Hawley and all of half of the group that you've interviewed on this podcast. And they really were a good direction for me. I got into the Springboard program that they had at the time, and I was able to do that with them and mentor a lot of them. And it really showed me a lot of different ways that you could get involved in the music world, but it also connected me with a lot of new people that I didn't have. So I think Yep is a great program to be in Nashville, and I love that they're still around and kicking.
Share more too. Like, we keep talking about how, you know, you didn't come from a music industry background. So, I mean, what's been the advantage of coming into this, having to figure it out, you know?
You know, I actually told someone this the other day, but I feel like sometimes I have a different ear for country music when I'm listening, because I grew up in a family who would listen to country radio in a tractor or in a truck with the windows down, riding down a dirt road, you know, going from place to place. You know, it wasn't your traditional. I feel like a lot of people who have a music business degree here in Nashville picture country music in Nashville as the city. And for me, I see it like I have an ag degree. You know, all my friends from college are, you know, turf majors or their family farms, or, you know, they grew up in a really rural area. And so I feel like I just have a different listen for it, and it's really cool for me to think of it from that perspective. I feel like the biggest thing for me was I didn't have a plan or a thought of I have to be a publisher or I have to be a manager or I have to work for a record label. It was like, I'm just going to do as much as I can and see what happens, you know? And I think that that's the biggest advantage for me, because now I've been able to run the publishing at River House, work under Lynn Oliver Klein, who deserves many shout outs on here. She's incredible, and I couldn't be where I'm at without her. But also being able to help her with anything she does on the label side. And also now I'm getting to dabble into management a little bit and do my rounds still and be involved in a lot of things. And I think if I would have had a music degree, I'm not saying I wouldn't do that, but I think I would have came out of college with like a plan, like I'm not going to take anything unless I can be a manager, or I'm not going to take this job because it's not publishing and that's where I want to go. I feel like that view for me was completely different, and it worked in an advantage for me.
What do you like about management, as you know, as it's maybe a little bit different than publishing? You know, what are you learning right now since it's
everyday learn. Management is everything, you know. It's like, hey, I'm broke down on the side of the road, can you come get me? Or, you know, I'm not happy right now, you know, I don't think I'm in the best spot and I need someone to talk to. Or it's just so much more than work. And that's one thing that's crazy for me in the music world, is like sometimes there's no boundary between work and personal life when it comes to management, where there's a lot more for me, I think, in publishing. Not much. I mean, there's still, depending on how close you are with your writers, there's mm-hmm. but there's some boundary, where with management, there's a lot more of a personal level that you have to take on. And that's been a learning thing for me, is sometimes I want to shut things out and just have some me time. But I know that being a teacher and a guider and someone who they can lean on is what makes a good manager. So I have to play a little bit of both. But with that being said, you know, one of the artists that I work with is Jordan Rowe, and he's a young act in town. So I've got to experience it from a really ground level. And then on the other side, I've recently got to work with Chrissy Metz. She's definitely not a beginner in her career, but music is a new thing for her. So I'm getting to see it from a completely different perspective, kind of both sides at the same time. And it's definitely a learning experience, but I'm so happy that I'm at River House, where there's people to lean on. Like Lynn and I are working with Chrissy together, and I'm able to lean on her for questions, and she's been in the game forever. So it's not forever. She's not old. Let me clarify that. She's super young. Lynn is super young, but she's been in the game for a lot longer than me, and I'm able to lean on her and get advice from her. And so I'm thankful for that.
What can you say about Chrissy's talent with music and kind of Chrissy, where she's taking that, coming from the whole like This Is Us explosion? And obviously in that series, she does some performance. So
Chrissy is, personally, let's talk about Chrissy on a personal level, the best human I've ever met in my life. She truly has a heart of gold, and I love it, because you know exactly where you stand with her. But at the same time, when she calls me, it's never about Chrissy. It's like, I'm trying to get to the point of what I want to talk to her about. But she wants to make sure that I'm okay and I'm doing good and how's life going for me. And it's so refreshing to hear that from her and someone at her level. She's super talented. Probably one of the best female voices I've heard. And I think that on the show, she even holds back. I don't think that she's given it all the gas, and she really knows what she wants to do as far as music, and music was the first love for her. So I think that I can say this. This is not going to get me in trouble, but she's wants to make a country record, and we hope to have music out within the next year or so. And she's been here writing, and I've been able to really get to know her as a friend and a person and help her book some rights and get to hear some really good songs from her. So I'm excited of where it's going to go, and I think that it's going to blow people's mind.
In hindsight, what would you tell yourself, like, moving here? Like,
don't worry so much. That was, I mean, I do that anyways, but I feel like I was carrying a lot on my shoulders because I had told myself I had a 5-year plan and I left a really good job to move here. So it was like, I don't want to let anyone down. And also, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking about social media. Everyone has social media. I don't want people to see me moving home because this didn't work out.
Right.
So it was like, for me, it was just a lot of worry and a lot of like overthinking everything. And now looking at it, it was like, I should have just trusted the process and worked just as hard as I was, and it would have been fine. So I would tell myself not to worry so much. Probably told myself to work harder when I was worried, because looking back, there was times that, you know, you get caught up in the moment mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, I don't know if this is for me. I'm just going to take a few weeks off or just do something different for a little while. But other than that, I don't know if I would change anything, because I feel like for me, the process is what makes what I get to do now so sweet.
Who are some of your mentors? Like, who do you like credit for like helping you go through this learning process?
You know, I would obviously, I'd have to say Lynn Oliver Klein, just because she's the one that took a chance on me and told me, like, if you can work for Comcast and you can do your own round and you can run an apparel company, like, you can come work for me and I can teach you what you need to know. So obviously her. But there's other people that I think mentors come in seasons. So some of my mentors were actually some of the songwriters who were here and have been here for many years without a deal. I remember Farron Rachels was here probably 3 years or more before she signed a publishing deal. And I remember thinking to myself, like, how do you do that? You know, like, she's been here for 3 years trying to make ends meet, knowing this is what she wants to do. And she hasn't even signed a publishing deal yet. Like, that to me is a mentor, because if she can give it that for 3 years, you know, I can at least do that. And then Ray was the same way. Ray didn't get a publishing deal until Lynn.
Yeah. I mean, Lynn, he's been here for, house. I mean, yeah. since, I think, from what I remember, like 2013 or 14 was around, yeah. maybe even a year before that.
And there was just, I mean, there was a lot of, that's what I was talking about with the music business is so weird, yeah. because it's like your personal life and your business life all intertwine. So there were so many of my friends who were here and I felt like were working harder than me in the moment trying to make things happen for themselves. And they had been here networking longer, but they didn't have anything going on yet. So I looked up to a lot of them. A lot of them were my mentors, because I was like, if they can do it, I can do it. So for me, that was really not until I got in the business and started working for Lynn that I started to find people who I was like, dang, they've been here forever. And like, they've worked their butt off and look what they've done in the times that they've been here.
Right.
So that it was a lot of my peers.
So I assume you book co-writes.
I do. Yeah.
What do you enjoy about that? Is there like a co-write that maybe sits at the top of your mind that you've enjoyed that yeah. you like weren't sure about or like were excited about and ended up being a great collaboration? Actually,
that's one of my favorite parts, I think, is it's almost like playing a game. It's like, okay, are they going to be mad at me about this? Is this really going to work out? And 90% of the time I feel like I'm pretty good at it because I've got to know our writers so well as people.
Mm-hmm.
But, It's definitely a interesting task at hand, because sometimes it doesn't work out and you would think that they would be great friends and or they would be great co-writers, and it doesn't work out that way. And that's one of those boundaries where it's like, okay, I get it. Like, I won't do it again. And, you know, I'm sorry for booking it, but it didn't work out and we can all be friends, but you can't write together, you know, and that's just kind of part of the game. But most of the time, when you put a write together that works, it's awesome, because you know that song is a song that you helped create because mm-hmm. you put them together.
Is there a song that like you helped put together?
I don't know if I could pinpoint one song yeah. that like I helped put together. I know that I've been working with Drew Parker since I started at Riverhouse, and he has the current single for Jake Owen right now called Homemade, and he was at the office working for us when he wrote the song. And I remember when he turned it in, I was like, this is a hit. Like, if no one cuts this, you should cut this, because he's trying to be an artist too, and
mm-hmm.
he can sing the crap out of it. And so I remember that whole process of getting it cut. That was like our first official cut outside of our office, and it was just such a cool process to see it, you know, the write happen, him turning the song, then Jake Owen sing it, and now it's on the radio. And so it's just, it's really cool. And it's, it makes all of the struggles and all of the things that happen in the music business that make us work past 5 p.m. worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Favorite part about number one parties? I feel like you're a huge number one party fan. I can sense it.
I don't know. It's kind of awkward. There's a lot of people in one room.
I do hear a lot of people say that.
And I'm not, I mean, I can talk to anyone, but for some reason, when you throw me in a room with 30 people that I work with all the time and you have to figure out where you want to start first, it's a lot. But I just love it because I love to hear the stories. I think before we, before we got on the mic, I was talking about Channing Wilsing, who is a songwriter in town, who travels here every day of his life. I mean, he lives like, I think 160 something miles away, and he's got multiple kids and he travels here to write. And his first number one was with Luke Combs, and She Got the Best of Me. And I was at that number one party in the back, like, I'm not going to tear up when he's talking about this. Like, this is crazy, but it just, it's cool to hear that. That's my favorite part, is to see the hard work pay off for a lot of these writers and artists and people in the business.
What's on your playlist right now? Like, what are you listening to?
Okay, well, first of all, One Night Standards by Ashley McBride, because Nicolette, who we work with, wrote that with her and Shane. And so I love that, and it's been on repeat, trying to get all the streams I can for those girls. And then, I mean, let's be real, Blanco Brown is on my playlist. You have to have that right now.
Yes, why not?
There's a few... A few things. I love the Morgan Wallen and Diplo song. That's on my playlist.
I haven't heard that yet. Oh, is it new?
You won't listen to it once. You'll listen to it like five times.
Wait, what was it called?
Heartless. Yeah, you got to put that on there. I have a lot of demos from writes that have happened in our office that I listen to a lot. Ray Fulcher, obviously.
We need to get Ray Fulcher.
Luke Combs. I should have brought him with me.
Honestly, Ray.
He's probably too busy. He's probably writing a number one
somewhere. I'll reach out and be like, listen.
He'll do it. He can't say no. That's a downfall for Ray. He can't say no.
Me and Zeb Lester, who know you from Georgia, are pressuring you to be on this.
And I listen to everything. I listen to pop and hip hop and country, and I've actually gotten this kick now where I don't listen to country when I'm in the car, just because I listen to it all day and I just like something different. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much what's on my playlist. Oh, you know what else I like that I listened to today is the Kaylee Hammock single, Family Tree.
Oh, yeah.
You heard that? Yeah, I like that song. That's cool.
That's so good. What podcasts? I know we talked about a little bit about
Up and Vanished. Do you listen to that?
Yeah. That's insane.
Well, I went to college in Tifton, which is about 15 minutes from Osceola, which is where the whole first season is based around. So that's pretty crazy. And what else do I know?
I'm trying to think. There was one that I listened to recently that's within that whole like murder mystery vein.
That's normally not my thing either. But for some reason, I love that. I don't know. I love listening to Crosspoint on podcast. Mm. I feel like sometimes on a midday week, you need that. You need like a little Jesus in your life.
Yeah, be like, we're like, hey, and, you're gonna make it.
Yeah, and I don't know. I do some audiobooks. I'm reading one now called Finish, which is really good. It's talking about the amount of people that don't finish tasks or goals, and it was a really big eye opener for me. And it's like, just because it's on day two,
writing that down,
and you mess up, doesn't mean that you have to start over. You can just continue doing it the next day. So it's been a really good one for me, because I start a bunch of things like podcast and Netflix and workout and eating healthy and the whole thing that ends and starts over all the time. So
I feel like that would be a good one for artists and songwriters listening, of like not over editing their stuff, just like going with it and letting the errors happen and learning from it, you know?
Yeah.
So where can people follow you on social media, keep up, or like if they're, you know, wondering about like how to get involved in the industry, you know, where can they reach out to you?
Oh, yeah. So I, like everyone else, stalk everyone on Instagram and do my best to keep up on that probably more than anything else. So my handle on Instagram is @itszeb with two B's. So Z-E-B-B ITSZEBB. And then I have a work email that is zebzebb@riverhouseartist.com. So those are two ways that you can always, I don't really look at the DMs a lot on Instagram, I'll be honest. So if you want to talk to me about the music world and, you know, how you can get involved, shoot me an email, and I can't promise that I'll get right back to you, but I would love to help someone because I feel like there's a lot of people over time who've helped me.
Any closing thoughts or like parting wisdom for the young entertainment professional?
I would have to say, don't give up, one. And don't always think that the door you're trying to go through is the only door. Because that was one thing for me, was I had so much devotion and mindset to go through the door of management when I moved to town. And that's not the door I went through at all. I started my own round, and then I got involved in publishing and started working for Riverhouse, which is a full service company with management, publishing, and record label. And just now, 4 years in, am I starting to be able to work in the management role. And I don't even know if it's what I want to do full time. It's just something that I'm doing that I love with the artists that I'm working with now. So don't let no bother you. Don't try to go through the door that you think you're supposed to go through if it's not opening. Realize that there's other ways to get to the same spot. And always stay positive, because I feel like a lot of people get down. And when you get negative and down on yourself, it shows to others and it makes people have a skewed perception of your personality, and that never helps anyone.
Yeah, negativity kills creativity, I think.
It does. Yeah,
not the best. Well, thanks for being here. This was so much fun.
Thank you.
It's great to meet you and feature, and you finished your first podcast, so
yeah,
snaps.
We're done. Yay.
Visit WhyNotWednesdaysMusic.com to learn how you can play or attend a Why Not Wednesday songwriter round, as well as information on the Why Not Lifestyle brand. Visit YepNashville.com for ways to sign up for our newsletter and keep up with future events. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Yep Nashville, and be sure to give a friendly follow to our Yep Los Angeles friends on Instagram to connect with us on the West Coast. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Yep Podcast. I'm your host, Libby Ulrich, and until next time, discover, cultivate, accelerate.